Hey everybody, welcome back to Solo Performance Solutions. Chris McCabe flying solo this week. Hats off to Leah, who's over in Australia right now. I'll reconnect with her likely next week. This week, a bit more of a personal story to connect to the topic we're covering, because I worked at Amazon for several years, as many of you, I'm sure, have heard either on LinkedIn or in the news. Amazon is letting a lot of people go, layoffs, I guess, projected over the next weeks into months, starting with 14,000 initial layoffs and then progressing to 30,000. I'm still working on getting kind of some sort of breakdown as is possible on which sectors, how many, you know, account managers might be impacted, marketplace enforcement people. I saw somebody post on LinkedIn that the compliance or risk management teams, only 5% of those are impacted, but we'll also see. I mean, this is, of course, Q4. It's the busiest time of year. Once you know you're on the chopping block, you might leave early. I guess some of them are getting severance, which is great. So I should probably start with wishing everyone, especially people we've worked with on many of the brands that we're helping, wish the soon-to-be ex-Amazonians well in whatever they do next. This is a lot of job churn. It's a lot of people to be looking for related or similar work at the same time within the e-commerce sphere or just Amazon brand management. I'm assuming many people will go work with agencies. So it's kind of like the silver lining here is that some agencies will maybe get some new hires that have a bit more recent experience and give them a place for a soft landing as opposed to just leaving Amazon. Personally, my story, I left Amazon of my own accord, of course, planning to take a year off, which I did. I think it did wonders for me in terms of helping me reset mentally, psychologically for the work that was ahead, which was helping sellers deal with, in some cases, cope with Amazon and just helping people understand why certain things were happening to them from my former team. Seller Performance, what's kind of known as more like Account Health now. Seller Performance / Merchant Risk, and just kind of give people, shed some light on why suspensions happen the way they do, why accounts would be blocked permanently. Now they tend to say temporarily deactivated versus permanently deactivated. And those terms are kind of used loosely. And a lot of people understand now that it's really just about getting an appeal accepted or not, whether it's a considered temporary or permanent. Those are vague terms by Amazon's own creation, not just because we're commenting on it publicly. My main goal right now, I mean, of course, I'm looking at LinkedIn posts, seeing a lot of feedback that employees give in terms of what they were doing, not just what they're planning to do next, but commentary. There is some public commentary on their former teams, inconsistencies, inefficiencies. I'll be gobbling up that feedback to see how marketplace management teams are, you know, at some point, maybe not today, but if there's 30,000 layoffs, first of all, that probably means maybe by the time they're through with the entire layoff cycle, it'll be more like 40,000 or 45. I don't know. But 30,000 is a high number. Not all in Washington State. There's been a couple of posts or follow-up articles about this in terms of where are the people who are being let go and what are their tasks. But I don't think that's 100% clear yet. Maybe I'll do a follow-up recording or a LinkedIn post myself about that. What concerns us, of course, is we already see lots of breakdowns in the appeal review process. We already see lots of escalations being handed off to the wrong player who ends up fumbling it, or just the stark amount of misinformation out there where you speak to account health reps after a denial. I haven't spoken to as many account health reps in recent weeks simply because we hit that wall so many times of either misinformation or hearing guesswork, conflicting information, I guess is what I want to say, or paradoxical information that just doesn't make it possible to rewrite or revise an appeal. I mean, we have our usual bag of tricks for blocking through a logjam like that, but a lot of people who don't work on it every day. I mean, if you're a suspended seller, I'm hoping you're not dealing with ASIN takedowns every day. You certainly don't want it during this time of year. And it's unfortunate that this is being announced at this time of year. I guess I knew this was coming, but I thought it would be more like Q1. This time of year, things are already chaotic. Things are already disorganized. There's already escalations, like I said, getting misplaced or under-reviewed or maybe underappreciated. Lots of brands come to us after they've taken a crack at this a couple of times. And it's not every occasion that I see a terrible appeal that no one should have taken seriously. A certain percentage of the time, there are appeals that do look like they're well-composed and maybe they need a little bit of a push, but the core data and specifics are there, and it should have been taken more seriously, and it wasn't. So in hindsight, now it does look like maybe some of these people on some of these teams in Amazon maybe knew they were on the chopping block, and maybe they weren't necessarily putting their all into appeal reviews if some of the compliance teams, some of the risk management teams are impacted by this. Again, I don't know if it's a 5% or 10% number, and it's also not about today or tomorrow. It's about 3 or 4 months from now, right? Who's going to be looking at compliance documentation? Who's going to be reading appeals? It already seems like a lot of appeals aren't being read properly. So that also begs the question, who above them that they report to will take responsibility for teams not providing the right information about why an appeal was denied, not providing any information about why an appeal was denied? I mean, that's, I would say, not a huge gamble to say that's the number one sticking point right now with brands who are trying to get ASINs appealed or a full account suspension appealed. I mean, there are people who are suspended around Labor Day, which is a long time ago now, who are looking to get somebody at Amazon to look at something and get themselves reinstated. So we always want to look for the silver lining in the cloud. The cloud, of course, being maybe some of these teams will be reduced in headcount. Maybe some of the mid-level management, if you read some of the articles, Bloomberg, CNBC, they'll be telling you there's a lot of mid-level management impacted here. Obviously, some of them are in other sectors, whether it's ads or biz dev, business development, or maybe things like HR. But of course, mid-level managers are the types who are often reading escalation emails. They have escalations delegated down to them from the executive teams that they report to. Will they not be fully vested in solving some of these issues? I would hope and think that they would want to start clearing some backlogs now, anticipating that some of these teams will have reduced headcount. And at the same time, some of the appeals will be spiking, of course, simply because people tend to appeal more often and more desperately in Q4 when there's more revenue on the line, more money at stake. So you'd hope for the opposite effect. You would hope that there aren't people who expect to be gone in 60 days who don't see why they should spend as much time reviewing the details of an appeal, appreciating the nuance or the urgency of an escalation that's been delegated down to them from their superiors, because that is kind of what runs the escalation process. That is kind of what it's about. Taking it seriously, doing the work, having to report back to somebody who's taking responsibility for the quality of your work, who's responsible for you, your performance, not just an annual performance review, but a consistent, you know, one-on-one conversation about how escalations are handled. It's often difficult to know how often those types of issues are discussed, because a lot of escalations, I think, are falling by the wayside, unfortunately, without explanation. And I think the quality of escalation review, well, it ebbs and flows. Some weeks it's better than others. I mean, it's always been that way. I think, generally speaking, we're seeing a gradual trend downward with the quality of those reviews. I think losing people, or even just, like I said, the threat of more people going out the door in the near future, I think that just hurts that process, or hurts the ability for Amazon to troubleshoot and fix that process. And I say that because there's still lots of emphasis on the quick review of appeals, the rapidity of the investigations, not so much focus on quality assurance. I mean, we don't see any significant signs of improvement there. It's great to have things like Amazon Accelerate cycle through, rotate back in 11 months, and be able to sit down at Seller Cafe and maybe get some expert eyes on something. But no one can depend on that. And that's 3 days out of the year. Results are spotty. You can't hang your hat on stuff like that, even if you've done it in the past. I mean, it's great to have that as a kind of wild card or a fallback option or a contingency plan of sorts, but it's not something you can lean your full weight on. We've seen mixed results with it, which of course, mixed results means some of the results are positive, which is better than having zero results, but you have no idea what that looks like in 2026. You have no idea what those teams are going to perform at for the remainder of this year into next year. I mean, any responsible, long-term established brand is thinking about making sure Q4 goes according to plan, but also looking ahead to Q1, Q2 of next year and forecasting, and also even budget concerns, thinking about your ad spend, thinking about all kinds of resources you will have to marshal for contingencies and problems that you have to troubleshoot in 2026. You're probably already banking on the rest of this year working out and sales. Maybe you're not 100% sure how it'll go, but you're banking on the revenue from this current quarter that we're in and the next 2 months of holiday sales. I mean, most of the brands we work with are counting on that increased revenue ahead of challenges they're facing next year. Well, that means if you have any potential risk of an account deactivation, it means if you have any, let's say, unresolved performance notifications in your account health, you have to chip away at the solutions right away. You have to almost anticipate you may have problems. And if you had problems last Q4 or earlier this year, examine how quickly you solve those, how quickly you diagnose the problems. You can't necessarily count on your SaaS core rep, if you're paying for monthly account management, to tell you exactly what needs to be appealed and how quickly it'll be resolved on their side if they're helping you with it. Sometimes they're just opening up cases and then it's a waiting game. Most brands working with us or bringing us in to troubleshoot aren't interested in waiting for obvious reasons. And you're definitely not waiting at this time of year when queues are backed up, when cases get misplaced or get not necessarily ignored. Some people are waiting for answers a little bit too long already here in October. But the real issue is that there are copy and paste answers to many appeals, whether they're submitted by email or through Seller Central. And this was a huge issue that came up last month at Amazon Accelerate, which is where is the light at the end of this tunnel? When are they going to stop answering cases, answering appeals, just to check a box to say it's been answered, just for their own internal metrics, without recognizing or acknowledging that it's just spinning the wheel on another course and in another rotation without actually doing anything, without providing any use, or without getting any of the churn, any of the friction resolved. Actually, it's creating more friction. The repetitive copy and paste. I've done many podcasts and videos about sellers who are getting answers to appeals that are identical to the original suspension notification. It's just a copy and paste of the message that was first sent 7 responses ago. I mean, that is worthless. That has no value. The person who sent it, whether it was accidentally or on purpose, that person knows it has no value. They should be instantly reprimanded from it or removed from their role for doing that, because all they're doing is creating more work for their peers. All they're doing is creating a higher likelihood of escalation emails going to their superiors, which might fall on deaf ears. And all they're doing is creating more work for the brands who are appealing over and over and over. And we've said numerous times in the past, it's really actually disrespectful for them to take an appeal that you spent hopefully a day or two, or at least an hour or two, maybe a day or two on, and get a response like that that just shows a complete lack of competency or professionalism on the other side. So obviously, you're going to take these things seriously. If they're costing you quite a bit of revenue, you should be throughout the year, whether it's costing you more revenue in Q4 or not. I'm happy to discuss these things with you. Of course, we're 7 days a week shop around here at this time of year, but appeal strategy to us, we sincerely believe that it means everything. It's not just something to kind of kick around and then, you know, slap together an appeal and then count on tweaking it based on something Amazon tells you, something a lower tier employee tells you after they've read it, or just experimenting and tweaking and, you know, fiddling with things as you go along. Making it up as you go, I don't think that ever really worked very well, but I mean, I don't think that works at all anymore. So if you have something you need a pair of fresh eyes on, you want me, you want somebody on my team to look at it, please feel free and reach out to us at eCommerce Chris, because, you know, Leah and I talk about many, many things on this podcast week in, week out. When you see things like people at Amazon leaving different teams and there's so much uncertainty injected into the system, it means, yes, there's going to be lots of LinkedIn updates and posts from people who used to work at Amazon. There'll be a lot of people out there. Maybe there'll be some good, new, fresh resources to consult in terms of just having things explained, because the communication from Amazon is so opaque and generic. So that's good news. Don't assume that anyone just leaving Amazon yesterday can join your team and make an immediate impact unless they have experience with appeals, reviewing appeals, reinstating them, if you've got a current account deactivation. So on the one hand, there's more information injected into the community or the system, and it's fresh information that's useful. On the other hand, obviously, it's not a be-all, end-all immediate rescue plan. If we do see a high-level executive depart Amazon to consult on account suspensions, which I've wondered for the last few years if that would be happening, you know, maybe that can move the needle in some ways, because they will have the ability to shed some light on kind of what's been going wrong the last couple of years in this appeal and suspension system. And that will be fruitful and useful, whether they do public interviews, whether they do private consulting. We just haven't seen that happen yet. So we'll see who ends up leaving. There might be some executive level people who go simply because their teams are deprecated or purged as a result of these layoffs. Initially, it doesn't seem that the sectors of the company that we deal with are impacted so severely, but we'll have to see. They've only done about, 15,000 people, which is 50% of the announced 30,000. And so we'll have to see who the next 15,000 employees are. And obviously, whether it's sellers or former Amazonians or current Amazonians, I'm happy to talk to you about what we've going on, some ideas and solutions we've got. Just reach out. And thanks again for listening in. We'll catch you next week.